Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstcclinic.com.
It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. That is right. And we're going to get busy here trying to one-up last hour when we had Jerry Jones and Jason Kidd on to open it up. You know, tonight when you're back around the house or something, you're looking for something to listen to, you can go back with the Odyssey app now with instant rewind functionality. Go to the start of that hour and enjoy the whole thing. Okay, we'd appreciate it. But thanks for making us part of your day. We got Michael Gallup standing by to join us. General at your service, at ease. Jeff Cavanaugh, Brian Broaddus, of course. Lucius Alexander is back there in the Pimp Cup. How the heck you doing, man? That was a hectic first hour.
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing
right
beautiful,
on.
Man.
I haven't even had time to check in with Lucius. You have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend.
Right on. Right on.
So, let's rock. Shout out to you guys, though.
You bet, buddy. Yeah. Shout out to you. We got Mike Fisher here coming up at 3:20. And then there's rumblings in Houston that they're going to trade him, maybe even before the start of the season. So we got to get to that and the implications around the world of pro football. But before we do that, let's do this. Joining us now on 105.3, the Fan, number 13 in his fourth season with these Cowboys, the great Michael Gallup. And a good afternoon, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate you having me.
Oh, it's great to see you out here. It's great to be back out here. Now, let me ask you this. Is this just another camp for you now that you're very much a veteran with success in the NFL, or do you feel the pressure of this being the final year of your rookie deal?
I wouldn't say it's pressure. I feel like, you know, the pressure comes from me trying to teach the younger guys because, you know, that's not normally my role. But, you know, got to step up, got to tell them, you know, what they need to know, and obviously hand out some advice.
How do you like transitioning into that role? How's it feel?
Oh, I think it's great. You observe a lot. You see more things. You're not just out here, you know, constantly trying to make the plays, you know, to know that you got to make the roster and stuff. Like, you know, you're pretty much locked in. But now you get to observe a little bit and try to help the young Bulls.
Now, did you do that on your own, or did the coaches ask you to do that?
Nah, I mean, that came in, you know, me coming as a rookie. You know, I watched everybody else who was older than me, you know, Bees, you know, Coop, Alan Hearn. So, you know, me being in the position I'm in, so I feel like I got to do it now.
Do you yell at Amari for not being out here yet and tell him you're getting tired?
I asked him earlier when he was coming out here, you know. I know he likes
cooking
DBs.
What'd he say?
He said, you know, it's day to day.
Okay.
Day to day, that's what he told me.
What is the we've had one pizza party. I still owe one pizza party for you. But we have to set up the third one. Mm-hmm. What yardage total in a 17-game season do you think we should set for a pizza party?
I mean, I'm pushing like 1,200.
12?
I'm pushing 1,200.
Okay, that's a lot of – I'm fine with that because it's a big number. It's a lot of pressure on you.
That's a lot of pressure on me.
Okay. You can handle 12?
I can handle it.
I love it.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I mean, that ball you track down there at the end, I mean, you keep catching those deep balls like you do. I saw the look. Were you mad at yourself for maybe losing a little bit, or were you mad that they didn't get it far enough out to you?
I wanted it just a little bit more.
Because you had to kind of hesitate a little bit, though.
Yep.
That's something when you're tracking those balls, though, talk about that. You look back. What is there some point or something that you're just your eyes go to immediately when you're looking at, or you know where that flight of that ball is going
to
be?
I mean, that's instincts. You know where it's supposed to come down at. But yeah, I wanted it a little bit further, so it was just more, you know, like a frustration on my part, though. You know what I'm saying?
You're running. I mean, you're out running the ball.
Yeah. You don't want to slow down.
You don't want to slow down. That's what I'm saying. You want to kill the momentum, right?
Mm-hmm. Was that Dak's fault?
I think it was Dak's fault because he ran a great route. He ran a great route. The eyes got back, you know. So I blame it on the guy making all the money, myself.
Now, I see it's a lot of fun watching, like, Ranger games, and we'll see. And they'll say, oh, and Dak Prescott's here. And I'm like, well, and that's Michael Gallup right next to him having a great time.
Yep.
Does the off-field relationship with the quarterback, does that translate in any way to on the field? Or is it just, hey, he's my friend, he's great to hang out with?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. So when we go out and hang out and stuff like that, you know, when you get back on the field, it's just like, you know, I've hung out with this dude outside of football. You know, I do whatever I need to do to help him on the field and off the field. So I think it's a little bit of both right there.
Does that help as a human where if you get underthrown or overthrown or something like that? Because I would imagine if the quarterback was here before you, at first you just kind of put your head down and go back to the huddle and get ready. Do you feel like you can talk trash to Dak now?
Oh, I mean, I definitely can if I want to, but, you know, I don't want to, you know, cause any bad, you know, mojo or anything like that. But, you know, I definitely won't, but I could if I wanted to.
It's Michael Gallup here with you on The Fan. What were the things you worked on in the offseason?
In the offseason, just being consistent in everything. Really just trying to figure out where my role is, you know, on the team and stuff like that. Where do I need to work at more, you know, position-wise? Not just playing at one position. I want to play, you know, multiple positions so I can be, you know, versatile and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
you keep running them slants and them drags like you do, you're going to be just fine, man, yeah. Catching that ball, big body going across the middle. I want to ask you, though, talk maybe a little bit, walk everybody through, because, you know, as a former scout, I used to watch the DBs and the receivers. Talk about how difficult it is to go through a training camp, because you guys don't stop running. I mean, it's like everybody else kind of catches themselves, but you guys are constantly going. And, you know, you have to fight through soreness and all that. Is that the toughest thing for, like, young players to have to deal with and fight through that wall and be able to make these teams?
I would definitely say so. Coming in my rookie year, I was on all the special teams. Then you got to go, you know, with the ones and twos.
Right.
So you're not really coming off the field, and that goes all the way up to the mental stage. If you don't have the good or the right mentals, then, you know, your body's just going to fail. And obviously you got to do what you're supposed to do off the field, you know, recovery and stuff. But I think it's really biggest, you know, mentally, because a lot of young bulls, they'll come in here and be like, you know, I can run all day. But it's like when you start messing up plays and stuff like that, it, you know, it kills you right there.
Okay, like the way the practices are now, do you like it this way where you can recover? Or are you a guy that likes to go the rhythm of the practice and, like, day to day to day, maybe put three practices in a row and then have an off day? Or with the way they're kind of structured now, is that a little bit different? How do you like it? Do you like to get into that rhythm, or do you like the break with the practices?
I like the break. I think everybody needs that regen day,
sure.
You know, to let your mind loose, stretch it out, you know, make sure you can get a full day of recovery, stuff like that. I think it's great. Going and going and going, that's, you know, you got to do it, you got to do it. But
right.
That's definitely tough for me.
The break after the first day, though?
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now. We still had to run a conditioning test too now.
Okay. All right. All right. I get it. I was young once too, and it felt like, man, day after day after day, it'd be all right.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not even approaching 30 yet, are you?
No.
You're still a young man. I think you got plenty. Now, what do you like to do in your off days out here in California?
Shoot, my off days, I sleep all day. I ain't gonna tell you no lie. I'll probably turn on some Netflix, but I normally just sleep all day, hang out.
What on Netflix?
Right now, I think I'm watching The 100. I don't know if you've seen it.
What
it's
kind
of old. It's about Earth. Earth had something going on. It was like radiation or something, so everybody had to leave Earth. They're up in space or whatever. They've been up in space for like 100 years.
What are we doing?
They send like 100 teenagers back down to Earth.
Okay. You know, you watch what you watch.
Yeah.
So we talked about it a little bit. Like, I think you guys only have 12 practices out here. Uh-huh. So you guys, as a players association, you have a great CBA. You guys are really good at limiting how much you're allowed to practice. But – I see a lot in Dak's backyard. Like, how much time did you guys spend out there in the offseason? It seems like a great chance for a competitive advantage. Yep. If other guys aren't practicing and you're at Dak's house playing football, that seems like an advantage.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we use it to our advantage. I think we're out there at least, you know, two times a week because, you know, Dak was doing anything and everything he needed to do to get back right to where he's 100% out here. So we made sure he got that done. But he had us out there at least two times a week.
What can you tell us about the new corners?
New corners, I mean, they're all tall, long, and lanky, which, you know, for me, it really don't matter, but, you know, I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
You can push them around a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they ain't really too big on the weight room yet, I don't think.
Are they ready to go in the NFL, though?
Oh, yeah. They'll definitely be ready to go.
Now, how much stronger are you than when you first came into the league? Can you quantify it in any way?
I'm way stronger. Way stronger.
What's your bench, Michael?
Bench?
What are you putting up?
You know, they don't really tell us to, you know, push like, you know, 275, 280, nothing like that.
You can put up three if you wanted to.
If I really wanted to, I could do it.
Rapid fire. Hold on, let me get my rapid fire. How fast could you run a 40 in flip-flops?
I'm definitely still running a 4.5.
You think so?
Yep.
Well, you're going to blow out the flip-flops.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bar soap or body wash?
I use bar soap.
Go-to order at Whataburger?
Oh, that honey barbecue chicken.
Oh.
The honey butter chicken biscuit?
No, not the biscuit. No? The chicken sandwich.
Okay, okay.
Like Texas toast.
Favorite song at the moment?
Bigger Picture, Lil Baby.
What? Who's the most annoying cornerback to go against?
Definitely J. Lou.
Which? Why?
It's been like that since rookie year. J. Lou, the only one who
he's
really
always
be talking
to you, right?
He's the only one.
Always talking.
I think that's the end of my rapid fire.
Michael, thank you so much for some of your time here on the Fan. Best of luck the rest of the time in Oxnard. We hope to do it again next year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
1,200 yards, see you at the pizza party.
Yes, sir.
There he is. Thank you, sir.
All right,
thanks to Michael Gallup for joining us on 105.3 The Fan. Let's pick up the conversation right there. What do you think? We're going to have another interview with Mike next July, August here?
I'll guess no. And I'll also guess, as a hater, that we're not going to have a pizza party.
Not 1,200?
I think 12 is overshooting it. I think CD and Amari might have 12, and Mike's going to be around 1,000. But I hope to be wrong, because nothing makes me happier than a pizza party and a Michael Gallup success.
Yeah, I think it'll probably move on. And I think you'll be in that somewhere between that 850 to 950 range.
You're a hater.
I think he'll be short of 1,000, but I think he'll be one of those guys when they're doing the highlight film, when they're putting it together, he's going to be the one making the spectacular falling back catch over his head and get both feet down on the ground kind of guy. He'll have a few of those.
I mean, there's another game. There's not a lot of other guys who you can picture getting big yards. You know, Schultz and Jarwin are going to combine for like 600 or 700. We're heading for 4,800, right?
How's the defense playing?
Are we
in every game now become a shootout? If it's a shootout,
there's
game,
some of those.
Yeah,
yeah.
If it's in a run where all of a sudden you're having to score a bunch of points and stuff like that.
Dak was averaging 400 yards in the first month of the season.
Yeah, but he was also at halftime, he was down 21, 26, 25.
What is the over-under on Vegas for Gallup? Probably somewhere around 900 yards or something like that. I'd be willing to have a fun little bet on it, something like that. I don't know, and I could see 1,200, especially because we still haven't seen Amari Cooper out here. You know, and Jerry saying I wouldn't expect him to be practicing until we get on back to Dallas earlier.
I thought that maybe, too, the tight ends, too, would have some numbers. Looks like one of the tight ends is ready to play. The other one's trying to work his way back. So
that's a pretty tough injury to come back from in 1 year. And I don't know. It seems like he's pretty rusty. Are you guys assuming at this point that Dak is going to have the big prolific year, like he's physically capable enough, he's healthy enough to dominate the schedule?
He's throwing the ball. And if he continues to get Tyron Smith where it looks like his uniform's not dirty when he plays, you know, and Lyle Collins, you know, visiting with him, you know, Lyle Collins has got it. He's got it locked in too. I mean, and, you know, Martin Collins, they can kind of figure out what's going on. It's at Connor Williams, what's going on the left guard, what's going on at that center. But yeah, you find a way to protect this quarterback. We saw what these guys can do. That, you know, those 2 minute drills, ball going down the field, ball on the crossing routes. It looked like to me that we've seen some stuff where just watching Kellen Moore with the scheme-wise, crossing routes, picks, things like that, and that to try and free some guys up. So, yeah, this quarterback can have a big year.
Top five MVP candidate. He'll be in the top five in MVP voting.
Will it be
– If they can block, he'll be in the top five. Okay. Right now they can block.
Is it going to be MVP at the beginning of the season or MVP at the end of the season?
All the way through, homie. All the way through.
So it's not going to be a Russ Wilson thing where he gets like he for like – 3 months.
No, our guy won't poop the bed. Our guy's not going to poop the bed for 8 weeks. That's not going to happen. No, Dak will be a top 3 to 5 MVP candidate from day one all the way through the end. It'll be glorious.
Start off 0-2.
They're going to start off 2-1. They're going to beat Tampa.
That's right. You have said they're
going to beat Tampa. Now, I'm hoping Mike will offer me great odds on that because I keep saying it, but they're going to beat Tampa. That's the kind of things the Cowboys do. They're going to beat Tampa.
I like it.
They're going to lose to the Chargers. Mm. That's the way they're going to do it.
That's my second
team. That's called the Cowboy way.
Cowboy way.
A lot of these guys, there's a determination and focus to their dispositions, to their energies, you know. Lyle, Tyron, Dak. You got guys in very important positions who are all pro level talented with a high degree of focus and concentration on making 2020 a distant memory. I don't think you can discount that factor.
Hopefully the head coach is too.
Don't worry about the head coach. You know what the head coach does all day? I'm going to do a head coach cam out here one of these days, because you have Kellen who's over there with Dak when they're doing some quarterback stuff, and he's over here like he's over there running
the
offense.
I was watching Dan Quinn coach the defensive line the other day.
Dan Quinn is coaching the defensive line, and McCarthy, sometimes there's somebody standing next to him, sometimes he's by himself, and he stands between the two fields, and he's just standing there.
I swear he walked over by Jerry's tower in the middle of the field. I thought he was going up.
Yeah.
I'm like, him and Troy, and they're all going to sit up there and kind of just watch practice.
Good leaders know how to delegate, man.
That's true.
That man is delegated to Kellen and Dan. He's just chilling.
He's delegated everything. I think my favorite delegation, though, is Bones Fossil being not only the referee in the team 11-on-11, but he's also got a headset, so he's calling everything out.
He's hype, man. Yeah.
I mean, you cannot tell that Mike McCarthy has a presence at the practice if you're just observing. I mean, I'm pretty sure he probably sent out some sort of a plan via email or carrier pigeon last night to his colleagues.
Well, I think Kellen and Dan Quinn, they make the practice schedule, but they blind CC McCarthy on the email.
Okay.
So he knows where to be watching at different times, depending on what he wants to see.
He has the look as he's standing there of a parent that's about to help you shag balls at a soccer practice. That's how I would describe his general.
That's the gym coach, right? Gym teacher, gym coach.
Over here, over there? No? Okay. What are we doing? Oh, yeah, that's good.
Orange slices? Where do you need me to put those? Over here?
Hey. We need to get him on and ask him, because, like, when he's at the podium and he was talking about a lot of different things, it's like, okay, this is a smart football person, right?
Yeah,
like, he knows things.
Yeah.
But it would be fun just to level all those accusations. Like, Mike, you kind of look bored out there in the middle of the field all day. What are you doing? Like, what are you up to?
Taking mental notes.
Yeah.
He did tell us when he was a quarterback coach, that was his favorite time. And then when he was an OC, he said that was the biggest challenge. And then now he's a head coach. He's kind of figured it
all
out.
Man.
I'm as anti-Jason Garrett as you can be in this world, and I'm still super happy they have anyone not named Jason Garrett as the head coach. But Garrett did a great job of pretending like he was doing something at all times. He would jog places.
Let's run it again. Run it again, men.
He was over there. I don't know that he really was calling plays or anything.
Back in the huddle.
But he's running around like he's doing something.
Life's tough as a walk-around coach, isn't it? It's just a little awkward.
Or
it's
easy.
Kind of a third wheel in the coaching staff.
Kind of like, what are you doing over here? You know?
Yeah.
Coach, we're busy. If you can step aside.
Will's up there trying to evaluate, and McCarthy's standing there next to him, yeah.
Well, we have so much to get to today, and we will. Coming up next, Mike Fisher joins us for his insights from a weekend covering Cowboys practice. That's coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a good one. Mike Fisher set to join us here. Segments brought to you by Soda. That's state of the art. And the Frankels. Hurt an accident? Not your fault. Call the Frankels, 214-333-3333. Or go online to truckwreck.com. Yeah, a lot of fun stuff happening. The Big 12 is trying to make a push to get Texas and OU to stick around, but it does not appear that is likely at this point at all. I mean, I guess there's media rights that are on the line. And,
there are.
But it looks like the Longhorns and Sooners would be willing to just be like, okay, you can keep the media rights. We're still leaving.
Yeah.
They're trying to – I bet you they're trying to make – from what I was reading, it was – they were – the others were trying to get together and see if Texas or Oklahoma would accept more money from the other schools, a bigger piece of the pie.
Man, that's got to suck. Like, Texas hasn't been really good at football since, like, 2009 or so, and yet they have all the money and all the power, and you as the other schools have to be like, what if we just give them more?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll stick around.
Your poor
you, Texas, get to getting.
Your poor Iowa State there, you know, you got a really good young coach, and now you're having to say potentially to keep everything together, more money. That's tough.
What are you hearing out of the SEC land? Is it going to be a sure thing they'll get the votes needed?
I haven't heard anything. I haven't reached out to anybody in the SEC office. I know a couple of guys there that might be able to help me there, but I was just kind of
going to be 13-1, Brian.
Yeah.
It's going to be 13-1.
I don't know. Like, Texas A&M seems like the one that might
be. Money. Yeah. Here we go. It is time now for Mike Fisher at Fish Sports on Twitter to join us. Fish, what's up, dude?
Well, it's good to have some NFL normalcy. And I'd like to bounce around not only Oxnard, but around the league and capture some of that. I thought Jerry Jones' visit with you guys, you know, the word fungible that I'd never heard of before, he started using it about 15 years ago, and then he uses it about every day. Fungible. His Malik Hooker answer was fully fungible. He's pretty much. Is that what he said? He's pretty much signed?
Yeah, they're signing Malik Hooker. He's just in the protocol, so he can't be on the field yet, and I guess it can't be official, but he...
They're sliding his meals under a door right now is what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, he even said, he was like, well, I think the things that you've been eating, reading, and seeing are official, pretty official.
Right.
So, yeah, it's fungible.
And I think here on 105.3 The Fan, we reported on Friday that he was either on campus or coming to campus, and... Obviously, the idea he would come here and go through the 5-day protocol, and so we're all making, I think, the safe assumption that this is going to be fine. I also would think it's a 1-year short term prove it deal. I don't know that, but I just think it's funny. Jerry is very hard to he is when he wants to be the most difficult man in the world to pin down, because Jeff, I guess what I'm saying is he's either going to be signed, not signed, or we're working on it, or no comment. But Jerry found a fifth way to say it. The good news is Malik Hooker, if he's healthy, can solve what Brian Broaddus has called a mess at safety. I wonder, Brian, because he did a lot of free safety stuff at Indianapolis, I just think he's a guy that can do it all, and I wonder if free or strong really matters to him.
No, I think he needs to play free. And I think if they're going to pair him with Wilson, Wilson's a better coming downhill type of a player. So
yeah,
that's the pairing. I don't think it matters the strong or the free. I think what matters is you have two guys that are competent players. When especially need one that's deep that can play with range. That's really, I think, the most important thing.
All right. So the normalcy in Green Bay, and it's so abnormal for most places, but. This is the way, and we talked about this the other night. I don't know that everybody agrees with me, but gosh, Aaron Rodgers is a lot of work. Gavin Dawson, he is a lot of work.
High maintenance.
Oh, my God.
The pettiest of the petty.
And you know, we got to give you this, and we got to give you that. Now, the contractual escape, that's a sensible thing. Listen, let's split the baby in half. I got this long of a contract. Let's make it this long of a contract. That part I get. I want some compensation
if I'm trading him, considering, you know, what teams would be willing to give up. I'm not looking to cut any deal. You know, we have a contract. We made you an offer to be the highest paid quarterback. You don't want that, but I can't just let you escape because you've decided that you're now too petty for our organization and you're pretending like you're going to go somewhere else and be happy. I'm not here to coddle that kind of behavior. I'm here to manage assets.
I would trade him today.
Yeah.
I would say, you know what, we're going to think about this, Aaron. Meanwhile, you need to come to work. We're really counting on you. And while he comes to work and we're counting on you, I would try to trade him. And those teams that are sniffing around the Deshaun Watson idea, I just call those two teams and say, instead of waiting to see if Deshaun Watson's going to prison, why don't you just take this big baby? And listen, he's going to take you to the conference championship game, but you're going to be miserable during the course of that time. Brian Broaddus, I think, has talked about, you know, he doesn't like this person in the organization. Right, Brian? He's got a bone to pick
with
this guy.
Yeah, like the president of the organization. If I'm Philadelphia, I'm thinking about this deal. This deal with Aaron Rodgers might be cheaper than it going after Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, they're asking for
a whole lot. And they've got the assets to do it. I mean, Philadelphia can pull this off. I think if Doug Peterson was still in Philadelphia, that might be an interesting one to keep an eye on. But Philadelphia's got the firepower to be able to go pull this thing off if they want.
And, you know, maybe Washington doesn't have that kind of firepower. And they made their one-year, $10 million commitment to Ryan Fitzpatrick. But you put Aaron Rodgers in a Washington uniform, I think that's the scariest team in the NFC.
Oh, geez.
Because Philadelphia would go from being bad to good, maybe, with Aaron Rodgers. But Washington would go from being good to great.
You got to win the trade war, though, and the Eagles just have so much more ammunition when it comes to the next couple of drafts.
Yeah, they got Miami's pick, they got their Colts pick, and they've got their own pick. They got three first-round picks to deal with. Plus, they've got multiple twos and multiple threes they can also throw at you.
But I hear you, man.
If you want. They've got some players you can have, too.
I think Aaron Rodgers is just trying to lay the groundwork that next offseason Green Bay will not have any more stomach for the fight. They're going to take the first thing that looks like a decent trade for him after they get through this. I think that's what Aaron Rodgers' approach has to be. If he's actually showing up for camp, he's just trying to be the biggest pain in the ass possible so they want to move on from him.
Yeah, well, he is that. And then he goes to NFC championship games every year, to his credit. The reason that I want to – I'm not going to let go of the Washington idea someday, some way, is, you know, our friend Michael Silver, the outstanding sports writer. So he now, in addition to working for NFL Network, he also works –
I don't think he works in NFL anymore, yeah.
I think he does. I think he's doing both.
I don't think so, Mike.
Okay. But he's definitely working for Washington.
Okay. Yes, sir, he is that.
All right. And he got that job, again, in addition to his talent, he's a Cal guy. And Ron Rivera is a Cal guy. And Mike Silver is close to Ron. Mike Silver is also close to Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. So Silver tweets this morning, I wonder if, and again, he's not playing, you know, double knot spy here, but I wonder if there wouldn't be a way to have Aaron Rodgers just play part of his contract and then get out of it. And then be free. And I'm reading Mike Silver writing that, wondering if he's got his feet up on Ron Rivera's desk as he's saying it. That's quite a Cali. That's quite a Cal thing. Quite a Cal Bear concept to just come up, just float out random. And now 2 hours later, it's kind of coming true. So
what's he now? What's he doing for Washington?
He's a contributor. They had a big purge at NFL Network of guys. Him, Charlie Casserly, those guys. They got rid of a bunch of folk over there.
There you go. So. And I'm sure you're right, Brian. So, yeah, he's basically on WashingtonFootballTeam.com, I assume. And
that's true.
Do all kinds of special projects, but also pull up a chair whenever he wants to next to Ron Rivera. By the way, who's the guy, Andy?
Benoit.
Also another former Sports Illustrated guy. He gets to pull up a chair with Sean McVay with the Rams. These media guys going into football power, Brian, you're doing it backwards. You did it backwards. He went from being a football guy to a media guy. That's not the way it's done anymore, sir.
No, I guess not. But I'm glad those guys figured it out, though. I'm glad the guys, you know, Mike Silver's a very talented writer. I like Mike a lot, and he rubs people the wrong way, but, you know, we all do. So,
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I worked with Silver when we were in San Francisco. He's a good – I like him. He's a good guy. Now, he won't have any authority, but Benoit Benoit, Jeffrey, he's going there. He's going to the Rams as a football guy.
Yeah, I don't – like, I saw what he was listed as.
What's his title?
I don't even know. Advice giver, hangout guy. And I've read a lot of Andy's work over the years, and I got to tell you, pretty awful. So
don't sugarcoat it, Jeff. So, really, I mean, Andy, if he's an awful writer, just say it.
He might ruin the entire franchise. They may move back to St. Louis by the time old Andy's done.
Wow.
This is a who you know business. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So one more thing on the Aaron Rodgers. So Trey Wingo, and I don't know that Trey Wingo's ever broke. What's he doing now for a living?
He's got 2 million podcast follower peoples. That he's
okay.
doing stuff.
Oh, he's doing the show on a podcast, huh?
Yeah, he's doing a show on podcast. Right, yep,
for him. Mm-hmm.
So he tweets, and I know that he's got connections in the state of Texas, that's for sure. He tweets that what Aaron Rodgers wants is, I'll come back to Green Bay if you go get me Randall Cobb. Yeah, I could have gone. Now, let's pretend for a minute that Trey Wingo's right. I mean, I don't know why he would tweet.
He's friends with the agent. He's okay. Real tight with Rodgers' agent.
Perfect. So – what, Gavin Dawson, what are you, here's my list of demands. I want $1 trillion, I want a mansion and a yacht, and I want Randall Cobb? Why would you put that on your list? And by the way, Randall Cobb plays for the Texans. You can't just have him. Aaron Rodgers is a weirdo. That's weird.
Yeah.
I want the Houston Texans number 5 wide receiver to be acquired by the Packers. Why? It really is, like you said, just trying to be a pain. Now, somebody is doing something right contractually. In Washington, again, Cowboys have to go up against this defensive line twice every year. And, Brian, they went first round, first round, first round, first round. And the first of that group with Jonathan Allen, he's getting his new deal today, 4 years, $72 million.
Good for him.
And you probably know Ron Rivera, right, Brian?
I do.
Okay, I never knew that he was a front office-y kind of guy.
He is.
But – he sure is. Mm-hmm. And what they've done, and they've moved the puzzle pieces cap-wise and roster-wise. Every single thing they do there, as far as I'm concerned, is coming out smelling like a rose. I mean, yeah. it's turned into gold.
Martin Mayhew's there, too. Martin's, I think, right. Pretty good at personnel stuff. So, yeah, they're doing a good job.
That roster is as good as the Cowboys roster. And now, with the retention of Jonathan Allen, and then the next year, they'll do the next defensive lineman, next one. And the year after that, they'll do Chase Young. And they'll keep that impressive group together for quite some time. Give that team a quarterback and watch him go. If you're a Cowboy fan, just hope that next year that quarterback isn't named Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, man, we could have a couple of quarterbacks traded into the division. If you look at it, you know, Washington be aggressive, Philadelphia going to be aggressive. That would be unfortunate. An unfortunate turn of events, Fish, it would be.
To have Deshaun Watson twice a year against you, to have Aaron Rodgers twice a year against you, Daniel Jones, I guess, maybe twice a year against you.
That'd be great.
We do have to give, that'd be fine. We have to give the Cowboys credit. You have to play against this team too, and you have to play against Dak Prescott, who even when he was in conflict with the Cowboys, was never nearly as unhappy as Aaron Rodgers is at his very happiest time.
Go from best quarterback to sometimes tied for two. In your own division?
There you go.
I think most people would say it's third. All right, Fish, anything else before we let you go?
Beer me.
All right, there he is. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. A beer indeed for the man, Mike Fisher. A lot going on across the world of sports. Troy Aikman was in town yesterday watching practice. We have audio of that we can get to you here before too long. You know, we got that Deshaun Watson story brewing down there, the Big 12 deal. You got the Olympics being played in the background, and Team USA is frustrated with Greg Popovich's San Antonio offense is one of the takeaways. Yeah, this per The Athletic, some players are grumbling on their way back to the locker room about running the San Antonio offense when apparently they feel like there are better ideas. Uh-oh! Team USA failed to score a single field goal over the final 4 minutes of their opening game, allowing France to steal the win on a 16-2 run. Can Team USA get its act together? I do not think so. I think that's all you need to know right there.
Well, I think Steve Kerr's on that bench too, right? They got a couple of guys that maybe they, if Pop wants to hand it off, I think there's always a college guy there too. So there's probably somebody.
I'm a Slovenia guy, so I'm not too worried about it. We're off to a hot start. Big dub to open the Olympics. Luka dropped 48, 118 to 100 to 100, I believe, was our victory, Slovenia and I.
Yeah, it's tough. And the Raptors appear to be interested in Ben Simmons. The future of Ben is a major storyline. ESPN's Mark Stein says the Raptors are amongst the teams interested in acquiring Simmons and believes the Sixers GM Daryl Morey will pull the trigger once he finally finds the deal that he likes. Other teams linked to Simmons include the Timberwolves, Cavaliers, Kings, and Pacers. Yeah, I don't know why you'd be making a strong push, but it appears multiple teams are, and maybe Philadelphia is going to end up getting a tremendous value for Ben Simmons. We had Jason Kidd on about an hour and a half ago. You can go back with the Odyssey app and listen to anything. It sounded like, you know, he's a big believer in Porzingis. Do you think he'll still be after the first season?
At times, yes, Gavin. Yes. And then what happens every year will happen, and he'll get mad, and then he'll end up where everyone is, where it's like, man, I know there exists a scenario where you're really good, and it helps us a lot. But damn it, it doesn't seem like it happens that often.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting to me is that he didn't want to be involved in personnel that way, that he didn't want to step in there. You know, most coaches would like the opportunity to at least talk about, and they'll talk about the roster and stuff, but maybe he had a bad experience at Brooklyn. Maybe he had a bad experience in Milwaukee.
He might have found out he wasn't real good at that.
Well,
he needed to back up a little bit.
You know, yeah. I'm a dear friend to the guy out in Vegas. It's the same way. He needs to take the Jason Kidd approach and not be involved with personnel anymore. Probably have a better team. But it's funny. They're asking him to be part of the process.
And he's kind of like,
man, I just want to coach the team.
Well, maybe it's difficult, do you think, to be in that evaluation and critical thinking and also be highly supportive of your guys? You know, if you want to take on a highly supportive type of mindset and you're trying to break yourself of being critical of everything you see, maybe just entirely detaching from that idea. Let me just focus on believing in every guy and giving him the tools to be better.
Yeah, but then you get into a point in time where it's like the players are starting to kind of hear the whispers and things like that. And then now kids having to deal with, hey, man, that ain't me.
Yeah,
I've got your back here.
Gives you the deniability.
So does it give Nico any help or credit or any?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think to me, I'd want to support, like, if I was a coach, I'd say, listen, hey, we're all new together. Nico's new at this. I know Mark. I know how headstrong Mark can be. I want to offer as many opinions as I can. If I'm Nico, I want to know what he thinks.
Yeah, but he's a genius point guard.
But if kid's like, bro, this is your roster. I don't care. You just bring me the players. You know, is that really the best thing? I mean, are you taking away a basketball mind? You know, and in that organization, you know, Cuban has owned the team a long time. He thinks he's a basketball mind.
It's a great point.
But, you know,
Kid's your top dog in that regard.
Kid's the one guy that's been through all the battles, and I think I would want his experience of telling me, like, hey, guys, we can't do it this way.
No, you're right. You sold me on that one big time. I'm ready to make Kid the co-GM. Just put him right there.
Crap.
Head coach, co-GM. Basketball genius of record on the team.
I just wouldn't want to be in an organization where my head coach kind of like, no, man, you guys handle that. Because I think it's important that you have their opinion and try to do the best you can to get the type of players that they want.
Okay, in Houston, we have a sudden change of plans. They are now prepared to trade him. We'll give you the most important things in that story and more when we return here in the Nation.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Wow, what a big day of news down in Houston with Deshaun Watson, and it appears that both things might be coming to a head here before too long. As the lawyer Rusty Harden, Deshaun Watson's lawyer, has confirmed that there are two women with new allegations who are among 10 who have filed police complaints against Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. It does not appear to be a story that is scaring off teams from wanting to acquire him. I think just because, unless there's new information that comes to light, it doesn't look like major jail sentence type of complaints or accusations that are coming in. Maybe by definition, sexual assault will be proven or debated in court somehow, but it's not, you know, the worst of it. It appears that if that did happen, it was maybe a misunderstanding or over-aggressive attempt at taking the relationship to the next level. But those are the kind of things you're looking at. It's not like he took a hostage or, you know, committed an act of actual sex without, consent. So I think those are the reasons probably NFL teams aren't scared off right now.
Yeah, he's just a creepy massage guy.
Yeah.
Super creepy massage guy.
There you go.
Kind of Robert Kraft situation going on here.
If I was one of those teams that was interested in trading for him, I would have my security guy in Houston today. I would have my guy down there, boots on ground, digging as much information as you can. I would have a call made to the league, or actually maybe even I would have my owner of the team calling the commissioner. Is there going to be a suspension here? I'm trying to get as much information as I can, because in all likelihood there could be a suspension here. Like Roger Goodell might tell one of these owners, if he has that type of relationship, which he does with those owners, that like, hey, listen, if you trade for this guy, I'm going to suspend him six games. I'm going to suspend him 6 weeks. I'm just letting you know right now that's what's going to happen.
Yeah,
so if you're comfortable with playing without him and then having him the remainder of the time, the 10 weeks and all that for the season, and then going on in the future, the young up-and-coming type of a quarterback, then it's a trade that's worth making. But I'd be tacking two fronts right now. Guy in Houston on the ground, and then my owner talking to the commissioner and seeing what's the potential from the league standpoint that could keep us from this trade.
I mean, there's stuff happening locally that people are willing to talk about that's
absolutely
not going to make the newspapers.
Absolutely. There's investigative, there's private detectives, there's FBI people, there's all kinds of things that you can dig in on and get to the bottom of, like, how deep this thing really, really is. You could probably even go to the lawyers that are representing representing Watson, and maybe you have an in there. Maybe you know somebody that works within that organization. But I'm trying to get as much information as, like, okay, is this something that at the end of the day that is going to just be, you know, that's going to totally train wreck this thing? Or is it something that, hey, he's going to have to serve this time, or he's going to have to endure this punishment, and then I will have this quarterback going forward from there?
Okay, speaking of train wrecks, how unfortunate would it be if Deshaun Watson ends up with the Eagles or the football team? Friday we had the story, Howard Eskin, an Eagles reporter and radio host in Philadelphia, said he's 90% sure they're going to be the team that trades for Deshaun Watson. The story out of Houston this morning is that sources are saying the Texans have changed their mind about trading Watson, and they're willing to, and would even be willing to do that before the season starts.
Well, that tells me, too, that Houston might know something else is going on there. That might tell me a little bit of, like, that's why I would like to have my my guy down in Houston trying to figure some things out and ask a bunch of questions, because if Houston has been really very stubborn on their stance, you know, they have not wanted to budge on this at all. And now, you know, as we get near the season, that they're going to say, okay, we'll listen. I think I would be a little bit leery of what they're doing right now. Again, trying to figure out why all of a sudden they've come off the stance that they've had.
Especially when you look at his contract. He has a contract through 2025.
Yep.
So, like, you have the Aaron Rodgers thing, right? And the way that this is playing out, and eventually it played out that, oh, just kidding, he's coming to camp. And maybe we'll void a 2023 year.
Right.
And, like, Deshaun Watson is even 2 years beyond that. So if you're the Houston Texans and you think that this is in any way salvageable, whether it's today, a year from now, 2 years from now, Deshaun Watson has literally no leverage. You look at him and you're like, look, you have a contract that goes five more football seasons. You are facing 22 charges of sexual assault in civil court. Like, we'll see you when you get here. And the end. Either your football career is over or you're going to play for us. It gets weird to me when somebody takes a franchise quarterback, one of the best in the league, with that much team control and is like, oh, he said he wants to be traded. All right, I guess we'll trade him. If I'm in the front office, I say, no, we're not.
Chris Mortensen says they are looking for a combination of five high draft picks and starting caliber players.
I guess that would be – I mean, but that's a hell of a concession of how bad your team is and what Bill O'Brien did to the roster and what they've done to the roster even since. Like, that is condemning your roster big time. If you're able to look at it and say, look, we have a franchise quarterback that is one of the three or five best in the league, our team will never be good enough to win with him. We have to reboot it and get good players and then find another quarterback. Like, whoo, what a disaster to be in as an organization.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine being in a spot ever where you have a young franchise quarterback and you're like, yeah, let's let him out. Let's let him go.
Well, it's because he wants to go so bad, you know, and it's also a messy situation locally. Like, you got not only a roster bomb, but it's a local news and how the community is going to feel about him and, you know, how is your marketing opportunities going to be around him. I think it's just such a big mess. But, yeah, you know, hopefully Houston's looking themselves in the mirror and not in denial about the kinds of criticism that's being levied not only from Deshaun Watson but a lot of outside observers about the way things have gone since the old man left us.
Yeah, Nick Cesario, the general manager, there might be in a situation, too, where he knows he has such a bad roster that he's going to have a top three pick. And so all of a sudden, hey, if I get rid of Watson and move on and say we play, you know, Davis Mills, the Stanford rookie, and it doesn't work out, or whoever they're going to play down there, you know, they get the top pick and then they can go get their franchise quarterback, start all over again. If Philadelphia is willing to give them the picks, their own pick, that Colts pick, the Dolphins pick, you know, all of a sudden, say the Texans finally get their first round pick back. They make that pick, and then they take those other Philadelphia picks. They can do some quick stuff. This year might be just a total, let's gut this thing, and then let's come back in 2022 and kind of figure this thing out.
Do you think Watson going to the Eagles would make them a above 500 team this year?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, and to me, that's – I think quarterback play makes such a huge difference in this league. I think Philadelphia does have some talent at wide receiver. And you know, they just needed someone with the ability to get them the football. I think that's the biggest problem we have with Hurts is that his inability to throw the football, you know. And so, you know, their offensive line, I mean, they've got some questions at left tackle. But overall, though, I mean, they've had a lot of the similar situations that Dallas has had with their offensive line. You know, they've got some good players. It's just a matter of all five of those guys playing at the same time.
Watson's personal quarterback coach Quincy Avery telling ESPN's Adam Schefter that he expects Watson to be traded soon after reporting to camp. I'm 100% sure he'll be traded at some point. I think the Texans have made the decision to move on. He doesn't want to be there. They're ready to move on. All they're waiting for is fair market value for him, and they'll get a lot. Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question, Jeff, you bring up, like, how do you come to the conclusion that it's going to be a good idea to trade him? I think they might be looking at it like, in order for this administration to get a fair shot, yep, we need to get rid of the players who have really, really soured on everything that we have done.
Which is also the good players.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all the good players.
Well, you do make mistakes. I mean, and again, we've talked about, we were kind of laughing about Jason Kidd, and I want a coach to have that kind of say, and Bill O'Brien had that say in what they were able to do and moving on from guys. But, you know, if I'm Nick down there and I'm thinking, we're not a good team. We don't have enough talent. I mean, but let's get rid of some things. If we can recoup a massive deal for our quarterback, let's do that. We'll bite the bullet this year, and then we'll, in 2022, we'll come out, we'll draft, we'll reboot this thing, and hopefully we'll have better days ahead. It's much like what the Cowboys, when Jerry Jones took over the team and went 1-15.
Yeah.
You know, that's sometimes you have to just totally gut things in order to make it good again.
How much harder is it going to be to get to where the Cowboys want to go if the Eagles do end up with Watson or Rodgers?
No, you know, that's the one thing, your kryptonite has been Aaron Rodgers. I mean, yeah. We were out there watching those drills the other day where they're not, you know, the defensive backs are knocking the ball out of the quarterback's hands and stuff. And all I could think about was Jeff Heath hitting Aaron Rodgers in the back as hard as he can, and Rodgers holding on to that football and then completing one for 3rd and 19. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Watson, I mean, arguably when you start talking about the top five quarterbacks in the league,
they're both in there.
They're both in there.
Yeah.
And your quarterback is behind them when you start to count these guys off. So, yeah, and you know, I think that would be a difficult situation for you.
We have the top stories from the world of sports coming up next. We'll set the scene for you, Jeff and Brian. Segment of the day coming up at 4:20 as we broadcast live here in Oxnard, home of Cowboys Training Camp 2021, brought to you by Goody Goody Liquor and Mortgage Financial Services, and we are back in the nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.